Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great God that you are, holy and just, loving us when we don't deserve your love. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come here and pray and worship you in freedom in this country, Lord. We pray for those that over the world that don't have that same freedom. But Lord, there are people against us here in this country trying to take that freedom away, Lord. We come against that in the name of Jesus. And we pray that those would find you and come to the knowledge of your saving grace of God. Lord, we do pray for our government and those in authority over us, Lord, that they might come to know you, that they might use the law in a just way, that they might use it in a godly way, that they might recognize that you are all wisdom and all power, and you have the power to do as you will. Lord, help us to be good neighbors to around us, that we might spread the word of the gospel. Lord, you've heard the cries of your people, the praises and the requests. Lord, we do pray for Paul and Mindy and the family, that you might comfort them during this period of time, that Paul might have the correct words to say, that might bring out your love to the family of their loss. Lord, we pray for traveling mercies back from the destination of Salisbury, I believe, that they are right now. Lord, we pray that you would clear the way for them and be the pilot for them on the way back, and to bring them back safely to us. So, we pray for Jean and that you might continue to give her very special hope and knowledge of knowing that you can do all things, that there's nothing impossible with our God. So, Lord, we just keep on praying and believing and trusting. Lord, I do pray for Bob and Pat, that you might give them strength from day to day to do what they can and will, and just give them a special joy and love within their heart that only you can give, oh God. Lord, I pray for Linda's mom and her caring about her, Lord. I just pray that you would continue to strengthen and comfort them in this time, Lord. Lord, and for Aaron, I just pray a special prayer for her at this time. Whatever the difficulties might be, I know that you can overcome those. And we thank you for Earl's testimony of helping him to conquer a habit. And Lord, we've all had habits, and we all have habits that we need to break. Some are not maybe as recognizable as others, but they're all just as bad as anybody else's. No sin is worse than someone else, some other sin. Our sin is just as bad, no matter how simple it might mean or believed in our hearts or God or our speech. Lord, help us to pray as you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, that we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. I was told I have to tell a joke. Well, Sarah and I were reading jokes in a little that book I have as church jokes. So we have two we really like, right, Sarah? So I'm going to share them with you. A lady went back to the restroom. She had an infant, and she was going to change. You know, they have a changing table in the ladies' bathrooms a lot of times. And she, up above the changing table, there was a scripture, and it said, "We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed." So we thought that was good. And then the other one is, this pastor had a birthday, and the church all went together and bought him a new suit. And he put that suit on, and he got up and the next Sunday, and he said, "I just want to thank you all." He said, "Now I'm able to preach in my birthday suit." So those are my two jokes for today. Paul asked me to do this because he knows I like to, this is a privilege, this is an overwhelming privilege to come and speak for the Lord Jesus. And he had been giving me a lot of thoughts and things had been coming to me about grace. And I catch myself a lot of times saying, that's amazing. And it's the grace of God. And I won't ever do it justice this morning, but I'd like to use some present day things that I've read of grace that people are able to give to others because of God's grace in their lives. And of course, in the scripture, we have many. And of course, grace is God's free and unmerited favor towards sinful humanity. We can't earn it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. So if you'd like to, I'm going to start with the scripture. I have a good many scriptures, but we're going to start with Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. And I'm using the Pew Bible. I had all my versions at home, and I thought, oh my goodness, I have everything but what the Pew Bible is. So, but we are using it this morning. We're going to start at Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege to be in your house today and the privilege to be recipients of your grace. Thank you for looking at us and having mercy and showing grace to each one in this building, Lord. And I do pray that if there's anyone here who has not availed themselves to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that they will, before the day is out, will give their hearts to you, because you pay the ultimate price, Lord, for us. And I just pray you bless every word that's said, that it be done for your glory and your honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace, we say, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon was multiplied to me. And when we think about things being free, the grace of God was not free. But we didn't have to pay. The person who's giving the grace is the one who pays the price. And we're going to find that in this. And of course, we know first and foremost with Jesus and his grace and how he, when he was hanging on that cross and suffering and going through all of the things that we should have been suffering, he didn't want them to have to bear guilt because of it. He said, "Father, forgive them." And that is ultimate grace, because when you are being persecuted and you can pray for your persecutors, that's a hard thing to do. And he also, the thief on the cross, who looked at him and he asked if he could be with him, and Jesus took him. The thief didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't have any time to go and do good works. He didn't have time to do anything. And Jesus said, today you'll be in the kingdom. You know, you will be in paradise. So he was able to provide for our salvation. And we look at people in the Bible like Stephen, another man, and in the scripture it says, full of grace. He was full of God's grace. And how he, when he was being stoned, he said, lay this charge not to them. He did not want them to feel guilty. He felt that he was in God's will, and that what was happening to him was because of what God had planned for him. And, you know, you put yourself in that position, because I've heard so many people say, well, I can't forgive that person because they did such and such to me. And we go on and on like, you know, it's the worst thing in the world. But think, somebody's actually taking your life, and you're able to forgive them. And that's hard to comprehend. It's hard for me to comprehend that kind of love and grace that God shows. Another one is that Joseph was another. We did a Bible study on Joseph. All that happened to Joseph, and he was able to forgive his brothers for all the things they had done for him because he saw that it was God's plan for his life. And he was able to forgive them. And he hugged them and he kissed them and he said, don't worry for your life. You're okay. Everything's okay. The prodigal son, when he went out and spent all his money and all, you know, you'd say, well, you know, he deserves what he got. That's our human reaction. But when he came home, what did the father do? Ran out to greet him. This is my son who was lost, and he's now found. And we have some everyday people. And I haven't read the whole thing, but there's a book called What's So Amazing About Grace? And boy, some of those stories in there, I think, could I do that? You know, could I trust God to be that forgiving? And one of the things was, in this story, and there are many, and I'm just going to paraphrase them because it would take too long. I said, I found enough information on grace that this could go on for a couple years. So anyway, it's amazing. It is amazing. See, I keep thinking that word when you think about grace. There was a woman, this all happened over in France. Her name was Babette. And Babette was very poor and had actually nothing. She ended up begging for food and everything, and these people took her in and they left her be their cook. Well, come to find out, before, they didn't know this, but she was a chef. She had worked in French restaurants, and she was a very, very, very good cook. So here they're telling her what to fix, and they're fixing the same old stuff, having her fix the same old stuff they always had. Well, their father, it was a couple of women, their father was going to turn 100 years old. And they wanted to have a feast. And they started talking about this. Well, lo and behold, as time would go by, Babette gets this message that here, somebody, a friend of hers, had put her name in the lottery. Had put, you know, got her a lottery ticket or something, I don't know how they do it over there. And she won. She won 10,000 francs, and I don't know how much 10,000 francs is worth. Does anybody know? I don't really know. I'm sure that's a good bit of money, especially to somebody who has nothing, right? So she said, let me do this feast for your father. So she went out and she got the best meats and breads and just had the most fabulous feast of all. And the girls said, you know, well, after Babette gets done with this feast, you know, she's going to leave us. So they were getting ready to say goodbye to her. And she said, oh, she said, I'm not going anywhere. And they said, what do you mean? And she said, the feast cost 10,000 francs. She gave it all. And see, that's what Jesus did. He gave it all. It's not what you give away so much as what you have left. He gave it all. She gave it all. She spent all that money that could have gotten her out of poverty to have this beautiful feast. They said it was the best feast, the best food they had ever eaten. She gave it all. And this is one that I thought was really, I thought about Sarah and Toddy and the other little ones in our midst here. During church service one morning, and this isn't quite as much as giving, but it's a lesson to us. This little child was sitting with his mother and sitting there just looking and smiling at everybody. She wasn't making any noise or rummaging through the mother's pocketbook or anything like that. She was just smiling. And her mother said, "You turn around and sit down. You're in church." And she said, and the woman said, you know, she was observing, she said, "If you can't smile in church, where can you smile?" And she said, you know, the most gracious, wonderful thing in that service that morning was that child's smile. Nobody else was sitting there smiling until they saw this little child. And her mother was so angry with her because she was looking around, smiling at everyone, giving grace, grace to the moment. And then there was a little girl who had a prayer. And this is something for us to think about, too. When we think about somehow when we are so grim, when we have so much to be grateful for, the little girl's prayer went, "Oh God, make the bad people good and the good people nice." I'm sure that little girl thought that maybe about her mother that morning when she was being corrected for being pleasant, you know. So, you know, we've all done that kind of thing. You know, probably she was aggravated because she was looking around and thought she was being disruptive or whatever. And then C.S. Lewis gives an and I thought this was interesting. He said, "The Christianity's unique contribution to the world is grace." And it says, "Because God's love is unconditional." And there's one more story from that book that I thought would be interesting for you to hear. There were a group of boys, teenage kids, and they were old enough to drive. And they had been out partying, and they decided they were going to go and have a fling. And they went and they stole all kinds of things. They stole food, and they stole drinks. And they stole a big old pumpkin off of somebody's porch or out of a field or something. And as they were driving, one of those boys threw that pumpkin at a car. And when the pumpkin hit the car, crashed the windshield, pushed the steering wheel into the woman who was driving, into her face, and broke every bone in her face. And it took her, it was over a year till she was able to, they actually took the kids to court and they did all this to prosecute. And when the boy came in, of course, he felt really bad. The judge was saying about how that there had been a plea for him to be treated very leniently and to not be punished greatly for what he had done. And they said, who in the world would not want this child, this young boy, to pay the price for this? And they said it was the woman herself. She could forgive him. After going through all of that and thinking of all that she had to go through to get her face healed, that she could forgive him. And then as I was studying along, forgiveness and grace are just so close together. Because when we forgive, we're showing grace. And people say, "Oh, I can't forgive him. He said my hair didn't look right," or "She said she didn't like my dress," or something. We get mad, angry about little piddling things. "They didn't speak to me Sunday morning, so I'm not going back to that church." I've heard that stuff. I've heard people say that. So-and-so didn't speak to me. I don't know what's wrong with them. Well, I'm not going to speak to them. People have things on their mind. I tried to explain, you know, maybe didn't even see you. I've done that to people. I've not even, you know, be someplace and maybe not even see them. If I walk by you and I don't see you, I'm probably thinking about 100 other things, which we all do that. But, and like it, there was an instance in that, the Grace, the book that I was reading about, What's So Amazing, about how that, you know, husbands and wives. Now, Charlie and I never argue, so this is really, I'm making this up. But you know how you say things, and sometimes it can be the littlest thing. And there was a story about this lady who had forgotten to put soap in the bathroom. Now, when I tell this story, I had to laugh because I thought, well, if I was a man and I didn't have a bar of soap, I don't think I'd wait a week before I said something about it. He complained that he had washed all week long without any soap because, you know, think about that, you know. And I'm thinking, yep. Now, he's really thinking, you know, wouldn't you, the first day you didn't have your soap, say something? Of course, she's, you know, just declaring she couldn't have forgotten. There was no way. Well, they weren't talking. I mean, it was so bad that they just weren't even talking. She moved out of the bedroom. She was sleeping in another room. I mean, it was just, you know, they weren't going to talk over a bar of soap. I mean, think about it. And I guess it's because you're so closely entangled that it makes everything your husband or wife says sound monumental. And it's not, I tell Charlie, it's not what you say sometimes, it's how you say it. And we all do that. We might say something in a very, that's very nice, but then we put that little twinge on it. Now, I never do that, but, you know, do I, Charlie? Look at Charlie. But, you know, we are so quick to be unforgiving, right? And think of the things, the couple things here that people forgave. Being stoned. If we can't forgive somebody for forgetting to put, let's say, put the toilet paper out. You know, forgot to put the toilet paper on the roll. And I've heard of husbands and wives who fought over which way it should go on the roll. You know, it should it go backwards or should it go forwards? Haven't you heard people talk about stuff like that? So we're all guilty of it in one way or another, whether we want to admit it or not. So we have to be able to forgive. And when we forgive, God forgives us. And every Sunday morning, and every time we say the Lord's Prayer, what do we say? Forgive us as we forgive others. And that is such a big thing. And you know, and I think I said this the last time I was up here. You know, people say, well, I forgive you. I bury the axe. And my dad used to say, yes, people bury the axe, but they leave the handle sticking out. So some of us still have the handles sticking out. And I think we're all guilty of that. If we're not, I know I am. But we need to be forgiving. When we think of the things that are forgiven, when we think of God put us here and he gave Adam and Eve a perfect situation. He gave them everything they could ever need. He gave them all the beauty in the world. And even they argued, I bet, because Eve got the apple. She took a bite. She got him to take a bite. So can you see Adam saying, well, you're the, you know, she can say, well, you ate the apple. And he said, well, you gave it to me, right? Can't you hear that argument? Well, you're the one who made me fall. Well, no, you're the man. You're supposed to be the leader, right? So I can hear that argument. So through all of the things that we've done, and God has provided for us. He's done so much for us. And we grumble and we complain. So we need to get over the fact that we maybe don't have everything that we absolutely want. And he never said he would always give us everything we want, but what we need. And he also said that if we do put him first in our lives, he'll give us the desire of our heart. And I kid Charlie, he probably doesn't want me to say this, because I tell people that when I was young and I was, you know, I was really involved in a lot of ministry at that time and everything. And I said, you know, God kept that word because he gave me the desire of my heart. He brought Charlie into my life. So he does give you the desire of your heart, but you have to put him first. You really have to put him first. And if we do that in everything in our life, the forgiving will come. The giving of grace will come. Because if we have the heart of God, he has a God of love and mercy, and his love is unconditional. And I remember Joel Osteen told a story. I thought this was really a cute story. He said, you know, how our Father's love is unconditional. He said, it's like if his boys were out in a climbing a tree and were about to fall or something, and they called for their dad for help. He said, I wouldn't say, well, you didn't clean your room out there. I'm not coming and helping you out of that tree. You didn't do what I told you to do. But he's going to run and help his son. And that's what God does to us. And he could say to us, you haven't done what I said for you to do. Because I don't know too many of us who do everything that God wants us to do. I know there are things, you know, in our lives that are hard to do. But with him, he'll give us the grace to do it. I also like the, this isn't mine, so it says, grace does not depend on what we have done for God, but rather what God has done for us. So, you know, it goes back to we cannot work out our grace. We cannot earn it. And all we need to do is trust Jesus. The grace is free of charge, no strings attached, and it's on the house. It's on God's house because he has provided. So as we look at all these things, all these examples of grace, we are charged with showing grace to others. And I have also a little thing I wanted to share. Had to get Brother David involved. I have also a book by Jeremiah, but I didn't realize when I first got this book that he has taken the whole song of Amazing Grace and has taken teachings from it. And sometime we might do it in our Bible study, but this is just the overview, and I thought this was really good. He took each line and gave it a kind of an explanation. The captivating presence of grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And then the compassionate plan of grace that saved a wretch like me. The converting power of grace. I once was lost, but now am found. The clear perspective of grace. Was blind, but now I see. The comforting provision of grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. The connecting point of grace. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The confusing paradox of grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. The confident promise of grace. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. The compelling prospect of grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, the continual praise of grace. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And it is called, the book is called Captured by Grace. And in that book, there was also, or no, this is from the Diggs Study Bible. It says, secrets of continual grace, live and walk in his spirit. And that is in Galatians 5. I better use some Galatians. I spent a lot of time in Galatians this week. But then there's a lot of instances in the Bible for grace. Okay, Galatians 5:5, where it says, let me find it here. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit of the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And living in the Spirit means that we don't depend on our own strength. Because we don't have the strength within ourselves. If you just stop and think about not having grace in this world and not having forgiveness and not having the love of Christ, it would be a pretty nasty world. Then to be patient in hope, And that is in 5:5 also, you know, to wait patiently and eagerly. Romans 8:24. I'll read that quickly. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for that we have not had, we do not have, we wait for it patiently. And then, of course, continuing in Christ, and then continuing in faith. And that's back in Galatians again. Okay. And it's one that we read before. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. But the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. Then it talks about a little yeast, you know, leavening the whole, a little leaven, leavening the bread, and how that we need not to let things get in. One thing that I do want to mention before I close is that about not getting into the law and not going back. And in his day, when Paul was teaching this about grace, some people were going back into the law, and that's why he mentioned circumcision and uncircumcision, because we've come out of the law. Not that we don't learn from the law, but that we do not live under the law anymore. And we live in grace. And I always like the little news pie heard this, you know, that in the Old Testament, our law was written on tablets of stone, but in the New Testament, it is written on our hearts. So we don't have to, we have to keep the Ten Commandments, obviously. We don't want to break the Ten Commandments. But look at the people who have broken the Ten Commandments and have received grace and forgiveness. And even that Jeffrey Dahmer, there was a writing about him. I wasn't going to mention him because he was such a gruesome person. But they say that he became a Christian before he died, and he was killed in prison. And people thought, you know, he got what he deserved. But he had given his heart to God. And it's hard sometimes to think that people are sincere when they're in that position, but many are. You know, they really do give their hearts to God. So, you know, it's hard for us. You know, when you hear, I don't know about you, but you read these stories in the paper, and there's so many gruesome stories about things that people do to children, things that people do to other adults. It makes you angry inside. You know, how can they do that? But somehow in our hearts, we have to be able to forgive them. And it's a hard thing. And without the Spirit of God, we can't do it. So we need to walk and live by the Spirit, to be patient in hope, continue in Christ, continue in faith, and let Him go before us. And for our closing hymn, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. So please stand and I don't know what page I'm on. Thank you. I've got too many books up here. I don't even have a hymn book. Please stand. 353.
I was once.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege to be in your house and the privilege to hear your word. We pray, Lord, that each of us would be more forgiving in our hearts and be able to show that amazing grace as you did through the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.